Good morning. Welcome to Crossing. We're glad you're with us here today. We're wrapping up our series today on the book of Jonah. We've been doing a study through the book and seeing how it applies to our life. You know, the reality that we've looked at is that God wants to do miracles through all of us. Jeremiah 29:11 tells us that God has plans for you to prosper you, to give you hope in a future. He does not want to harm you. He has great things for your life. But we are created in the image of God and we are selfish people. We mess up. We're humans. And because of that, we often there's a battle that happens in line. And the battle is between obedience to God, knowing what is right, and the rebellion of doing what we want to do on our own. But the beauty of the book of Jonah is knowing this, that God is a God of second chances. Amen. That we know that if it was not for his grace, we would not be here today. However, we've also looked at the fact that you would not need grace if he did not have expectations and show us how to live through his book and show us how to live through following him. And so we looked at the life of Jonah. We saw how God spoke to Jonah and Jonah then rebelled. He said, I want to run. I'm not just going to run. He ran to Tarshish 2,500 miles away because God had spoke to his life. And he says, I don't want to do that. And before you knew it, Jonah was literally in the midst of this, his worst reality, his worst nightmare. Here he is. He's thrown into a well. And you can see even on this graphic how it happens. He's thrown into a well. He cries out to God in Jonah chapter 2. He prays, oh God, please hear my prayer. I ask for your forgiveness. God forgives him. He spits him up on shore and he takes him to Nineveh. In Nineveh, he gives what? He begins to share and he's obedient to what God wants him to do. He does what God wants him to do. And we looked at that and we asked the questions, you know what? How would we respond when God speaks to us? And what would it look like if we completely surrendered? And we can see these examples through Jonah's, the book of Jonah. Chapter 1, we see there's a little bit of Jonah in all of us. Chapter 2, we see what happens when we truly pray and cry out to God. Chapter 3, we see what happens when we obey and submit to God. And today, in Jonah chapter 4, we want to look at what God has by seeing, teaching us to see through God's eyes. Seeing through his eyes. So let's look at Jonah chapter 4, and let's look here. Jonah chapter 4, verse 1, it says this. This change of plans greatly upset Jonah, and he became very angry. Now, let's stop there for a minute. Jonah, he's seen what? Great things happen. He's had quite a bit of a journey in a short amount of time. You go from, hey, God tells you to do something. You choose not to do it. You run from God. God gets your attention. Now, here he is. I mean, he's been in a whale. I mean, let's just process that for a moment, right? And God has saved him. If anybody knows grace, would you not agree with me that Jonah should know grace, right? I mean, we can all agree on that topic. But here he is in that process, and now he's here in Nineveh, and God's wanting to extend grace to them, and he's saying, they don't deserve it. Now, if we're being real this morning, all of us at some point in our lives have been judgmental. Yes? I mean, you've been there, right? At some point, you've looked and said, they don't deserve that, you know? You know, we've all been there. If you've lived life for any point, you've been at the moment where you've thought, I ain't so sure about that, you know? Or maybe you've looked and said, God, why are you blessing them? They don't deserve it. You see them? Like, they're bad people. Like, you need to bless me. I mean, we get in these mentalities where we become judgmental. We're human. I mean, you can't escape this. So, picture with me, here Jonah is, he's there, he's seeing God's hand, but Jonah knows the city of Nineveh. We talked about this in week one. They were of the Assyrian group. I mean, they were as evil gets. If you study them in history, I mean, the amount of atrocities that they did is almost too much to even share. So much so, as I've shared, that many times if they were going to attack a city, people would literally commit suicide because they did not want to deal with the torture that the Assyrians would do them, predominantly through the city of Nineveh. So that's how evil this town is. And Jonah's saying, look, God, I mean, I know you saved me from a whale, but, you know, I'm kind of a good guy, right? He says, I mean, I'm not all that bad. I'm at least serving you. These people, they don't deserve it at all. And he was angry. When you look in the Hebrew, the word that says that his change of plans greatly upset him, or the other way says it angered him, In Hebrew, the word is re'ah. Now, that means evil. It means evil. When you read on and it says he became very angry. Angry, the word angry is from the word hara, which means to burn with fire. So in other words, Jonah looked back over the past 24 hours of Nineveh's repentance, and what he saw in his eyes was evil, and he was burning with fire. So Jonah comes in chapter 3 and says, repent or God's going to destroy your city. Secretly inside, Jonah's saying, destroy the city, right? Destroy it. I mean, I'm a prophet. I said it. Let it be. Amen. This is good. But yet, that ain't what God wants to do. Why? Because God sees their repentance. And so Jonah's like, wait a second. This upsets me. And it's interesting that he would have an evil, notice the word used there, an evil anger burn with fire inside of him. Why? Because Jonah was not seeing through God's eyes. Jonah was seeing through his eyes and his perspective. And from his perspective, these people deserved God's judgment. But when God looked at Nineveh, before we see what? In chapter 1, in chapter 2, and chapter 3, God saw their evil. And he said, they need to be warned because judgment is coming. But now in chapter 4, at the end of chapter 3, beginning of chapter 4, they begin to repent. They begin to fast and pray and say, God, we surrender to you. Please have mercy on us. Now let's look on in chapter 4, verse 2. So Jonah, then he complained to the Lord about it. And he says this, didn't I say before I left home that you would do this, Lord? That is why I ran away to Tarshish, a.k.a. 2,500 miles away, a year's journey, as far as I can get away. I knew that you are a merciful and compassionate God. Isn't that bad? Isn't that funny? God, I knew you were merciful and compassionate, and I didn't want that. I mean, that's what he's saying. He says, you're slow to get angry, and you're filled with unfailing love. You're eager to turn your back from destroying people. So just kill me now, Lord. I would rather be dead than alive if what I preached will not happen. Come on now. I mean, what a prayer, right? He's saying, kill me. I don't want to go back in there and say that you're merciful. I'd rather them know that what I said was going to happen. Do you sense the pride here? Jonah is seeing through his eyes. He's saying, I'm a prophet. What I say should happen. And if I say and it doesn't happen, then people are going to look at me like I don't even know what I'm talking about. He's seeing it only through his eyes, how it affects him. What's so ironic is Jonah was grateful to God for a second chance, but felt Nineveh did not deserve it. Isn't that interesting? How many times in our life have we been judgmental where we've been grateful to God, but we're not willing to forgive others? We want forgiveness, but we don't want to give forgiveness. We don't want to forgive. If we think about it, all of us have dealt with unforgiveness in our life. Unforgiveness is real. Because if you've lived life for any moment or any time, somebody's treated you wrong. Somebody has, sometimes when you're treated unfairly, sometimes it's just, it's right. They truly treated you wrong. Sometimes it's simply a perceived wrong. But either way, the power of the unforgiveness still can destroy your life. And it's interesting because this is exactly what Jesus was talking about in Matthew chapter 6 when he says this. If you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. Let that sink in for a moment. It's easy for us to ask God for forgiveness because we recognize we're all sinners. But it's so difficult to forgive others. But yet what God is saying, what Jesus was speaking and what he's saying here, even through Jonah, how can you ask me to forgive you if you can't forgive others? See, this is the difference of changing your lens. This is what he's trying to say. If you see through my eyes, you understand everybody screws up. If you see through my eyes, nobody's perfect. If you see through my eyes, you realize if they're willing to change, give them that chance. Don't let that destroy you. But what happens is we hold on to that. And what happens? You see, unforgiveness is like poison. It's bitterness. And when you drink that poison, by holding on to that unforgiveness, it destroys you. My mom always told me the quote, bitterness is like drinking poison and waiting for the other person to die. You are destroying your own life. And Jonah's life here is in the balance. He's sitting there saying, God, kill me. Kill me. They don't deserve it. Just kill me. I don't even want to mess with this. And God's saying, Jonah, you're missing it. Look through my lens. Look through my lens. Let's read on in verse 4. Because here's the reality. If you can't forgive those who've wronged you, ask yourself this question. How can you expect God to forgive you? Look on in verse 4. Here's the Lord's reply. He says, is it right for you to be angry about this? I mean, in other words, he's probably saying, really, Jonah? I mean, are we really having this conversation? He says, then Jonah went out from the east. Okay, I love this. God says, really? So Jonah says, I'll tell you what, Lord, forget you. I'm going on my own. He had a little, I'll take my ball and I'm going home. He says, Jonah went out to the east side of the city and made a shelter to sit under, and he waited to see what would happen. Now, in other words, Jonah had his very own personal pity party, right? I mean, he said, this is not fair. Life's not fair. You're not fair. They don't deserve it. This isn't right. And I'm mad. I mean, I'm sitting in the floor screaming mad. You know, I'm getting out of this city. You don't want to destroy that city? So he literally leaves the city and he goes and makes his own little pity party hut. And this is where he's sitting. Now let's look in verse 6. What happens? It says, and the Lord arranged, here he is out, exposed to the weather inclements, the Lord arranged for a leafy plant to grow there, and soon it spread its broad leaves over Jonah's head, shading him from the sun. This eased his discomfort, and Jonah was very grateful for the plant. But God also arranged for a worm. The next morning at dawn, a worm ate through the stem of the plant so that it withered away. And as the sun grew hot, God arranged for a scorching east wind to blow on Jonah. The sun beat down on his head until he grew faint and wished to die. And here's what he says. Death is certainly better than living like this, he explained. I mean, think about this for a moment. He says, man, I'm in my pity party, and then God, you give me a leaf. That was cool. I like the leaf. This is great. But then a worm comes. I mean, it's like just, I mean, he is ate up with anger and bitterness in his life. He's just mad. He's mad at the world. This isn't right. Still seeing through his eyes. And he says, I would rather die. Now, what's interesting when you look in the Hebrew on this, the word arranged, as well as, it's in some translation, it's called provided, but the word provided or arranged in the Hebrew means manna. Now, this is the same word you think of when you hear manna, how God provided manna for the children of Israel. This is the same word, because the word manna literally means in the Hebrew to be a sent or appointed. So let's get this straight. God appointed Jonah's out there in his pity party. I mean, I don't know about you, but I'm kind of thinking Jonah probably doesn't deserve a green leaf, right? He probably doesn't deserve this, but God says, I'm going to give him a leaf. And it says Jonah was grateful. He's like, yeah, thanks, Lord. And then it said God arranged for a worm. Huh? I mean, this is one of those passages you look at and you're like, God, what do you mean? Why would you allow this to happen? Why would you do this? And then beyond that, an east scorching wind. To the point where Jonah said, you know what? I'm done. Let me die. When you look at this and you apply this into your life, so many times it's hard for us to understand. But God, here's what we know. We see from here that God loves and cares for Jonah so much that he knew exactly what he needed to send into his life. And God cares so much for you, he knew exactly what he needed. You see, in this passage, here's one of the hardest things to see. God was the God of the leaf. Amen. Thank you for the shelter. But God was the God of the worm. What? He sent. It's like, wait a second, Lord, you did what? You sent an east scorching wind? Why would you do that? Because God knew what Jonah needed. And because he knew what he needed, he wanted him to experience the true. What was his point was to say, I want you to see through my eyes, Jonah. I want you to get my attention. This is hard for us to grasp. Because we see in Scripture that God is not a God of evil. He is a God of grace and God of mercy. But we live in a fallen world, and God will allow things to happen in our lives that oftentimes we don't like. But what we don't understand is we think, because many times in those moments, let's be real, God is silent. And when God is silent, we think that God has forgotten. We think that God doesn't care. Many of you are here today in the middle of a storm in your life, and you feel like God is silent and you don't understand why. But can I tell you today, God knows what you need, and he cares for you, and he's wanting you to grow and develop. Think of it like this. When you have a child, as a young child, they require a massive amount of your time. When they are young, I mean, they don't just require, let me put it this way, they demand. Amen? Can any parent say amen to that? It's like, you will take care of me, or I will make your life miserable until you do. You know, it's just how it's going to be. Like, they will not just ignore it. But as they grow, follow this, as they develop, you begin to train them. And what do? You let them develop. You know, it comes to a point where eventually you'll send them out on their own. And at that point, as a parent, you're saying, oh, God, have I taught them what they need to know? But at this point, you've done all you can do, right? Other than continue to guide and direct them. But when do they learn the most? Through their own experiences. Through the experiences they place in their life. And sometimes when you come to Christ and you follow him, at the beginning, guess what? He's right there. You can hear everything and everything's great. But then there are these moments of silence where you think that God is absent. But can I tell you this morning, he's not absent. He's allowing you that room to grow. He's allowing you that stretch in your life to say, God, I'm going to trust you even though you're not right by my side. Even though I can't hear you, I know you're by my side. Even though right now I feel like you're silent, I trust that you are in control. And that's when you begin to grow. That's when you begin to develop. But yet, here Jonah is. He's at a point of saying, I don't want any of this. I don't care about any of this. God, you don't even understand. You don't understand what I'm thinking about and what I feel. What I. And yet God's saying, can you not learn how to praise him in the storm? Can you not learn how to trust me when things aren't right? Can you not learn just to seek me more than seek your own comfort? And he goes on in verse 9. And he says this. He says, God said to Jonah, is it right for you to be angry because the plant died? Look what Jonah says. Yes. He's like, it is absolutely right for me to be angry. He retorted. Even angry enough to die. I mean, not just yes, Lord, but oh yeah. It's every reason to be angry, and I want you to know it. Then the Lord said, check this out. You feel sorry about the plant, though you did nothing to put it there. It came quickly, and it died quickly. Now check this out. This is the last verse. This is crazy, isn't it? He says, but Nineveh has more than 120,000 people living in spiritual darkness, not to mention all the animals. Shouldn't I feel sorry for such a great city? He ends this conversation with Jonah with a question. He says, look through my eyes. Do you not see the pain? Do you not see the destruction? Do you not see the spiritual darkness they're in? In other words, I believe God was asking this question. This is a question I want to ask you this morning. Jonah, or us, is life all about you? Is it so much about you that you cannot see the hurting? Is it so much about you that you cannot see those who are in spiritual darkness? Because when you look at this, all God wanted for Jonah was to see that life is not about him, but life is about Nineveh. Life is about, he wants us to see this morning that life is about Nineveh. When you walk outside your door and spiritual darkness is all around you, it's the Nineveh. When you go to work and the people who absolutely drive you insane, it's Nineveh. When you go and you see the hurting neighbors around you, but yet you want to continue on because you don't want to reach out and you don't want to spend your time, it's Nineveh. God's trying to speak into our lives and tell you Nineveh is all around you. The people in your school that are hurting, the friends that are the meanest kids in school, it's Nineveh. They're hurting. They need somebody to show life. They need somebody to show they care. This is real. And God's wanting us to see through his eyes. And when you see through his eyes, you see those who are hurting. You see those who are broken. You see those who need hope, those who need peace, those who need joy. And yet they are often some of the most difficult people you deal with in your life because they are some of the most hurting people you see. And the reality for us today is when you look at this example of Jonah's life, when God gives us a second chance, we have to recognize that that forgiveness, that salvation we have that God gives us is not free. It cost Jesus his life, but yet it is free to us because he freely gives it. And in that freedom, it has a cost. And that cost is that we open our eyes and see Nineveh. We open our eyes and care for those who are hurting. We open our eyes and see through God's eyes. Because to see through God's eyes is to have, be able to forgive with the grace that God forgives you. To be able to trust God explicitly and believe his plan more than you believe your own. It's to be able to accept Matthew chapter 22. In the great commandment, where he says, love God with all your heart, mind, and your soul. And do what? Love your neighbor. See Nineveh as yourself. Then he says, go in Matthew 28 into all the world and make disciples. Baptize them into the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And do what? Teach them to obey the commands of the Lord. And know this, that I'm with you always, even to the ends of the age. Show them who I am. And when you see that, when you see through God's eyes, you begin to understand his purpose for us. His design all along is not that we sit idle. It's not that we simply come to church, sing a few songs, feel good and walk out. But it's that we could put on a new lens and see Nineveh. Because the reality is, we live in a world that's full of it. And all of us in our lives have been sinners. There's nobody in this room that's perfect. Everybody messes up. We see very clearly all sin comes short of the glory of God. But oftentimes people don't know that peace until we're obedient enough, like Jonah. Until God gets our attention, like Jonah. We repent and say, God, forgive me, help me. And become obedient. And then we see through his eyes. And when we see through his eyes, can I tell you something? You'll see people that you've never seen before. All of a sudden, you'll see things you didn't see before. Why? Because you're willing to take off yours and put on his. And when you see through his lens, all of a sudden things become clear. And you say, okay, this isn't all about me. There's more to this life. Would you close your eyes this morning and reflect on what God is speaking? If you're here today, and maybe you're living in Nineveh, you're in pain, you're in hurt and you don't have hope. Maybe you're here and you don't know Christ and the peace and the joy that he gives. Maybe you've never heard. Or maybe, you know what, you grew up in it, learning the lessons of God, but maybe it was never real and you never experienced what it means to have a relationship with him. Or maybe you're even here and you've accepted him as your Savior at one point in your life, but man, life got busy, life got crazy, and you begin to become more focused on yourself, and before you knew it, you know what? It was non-existent in your life. And now you don't have a relationship with God. No matter where you are in your journey of faith, whether you're growing or whether you're at the very beginning stages, the beautiful thing is God is here today, and the Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart, telling you, hey, come to me. I want to help you. I want to help you. I want to show you that second chance that I gave Jonah. I want to give you one. I want to show you that peace that you've been seeking. That hope that you longed for. The joy that you need. If you're here today and that's you and you're saying, hey, I'm not in relationship with God, but I want to start one, or I want to rekindle my relationship with God today with no one looking around. We're not here to single you out or embarrass you. We want to pray with you right where you're sitting, because we believe it's the power of the Holy Spirit that changes us, not us. But if you're here today and you're saying, hey, I want to make him Lord of my life with no one looking around, just make eye contact with me right now. Amen. Anyone else? Amen. Listen, we all need his grace. You're saying, hey, I want to reassure in my heart. Anyone else? Amen. Anybody else? Praise God. Let's pray this morning. We pray and confess, because in Romans 10 it says to confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. And that confession is simply just saying, God, forgive me of my sins, and I proclaim you as Lord of my life. I'll lead you in that prayer, but you could pray it on your own, because you can talk to God that way. But the confession is the beginning. Then you must live it out. You must say, okay, I'm going to change. I'm going to turn from the way I'm living and begin to seek his face. Get in his word. Read and develop as a follower of Christ. But if you're here this morning and you're one of the ones that made that decision, I'm going to lead you in this prayer. But remember, you can pray this on your own as well. And I challenge you to begin that relationship with the Lord and praying to him. But I'll help you this morning. And if you, not to single anyone out, if you're here this morning and you have accepted Christ, just pray with us. And let it be a reminder of what God's done for you. But let's all pray this morning and say, dear Jesus, I come to you today and I ask you to forgive me of my sins. I believe that you died for me and rose again for me. And now today, I seek your face and I ask you to come into my life and change me forever. In Jesus' name. Listen, that's the beginning. That's the confession. And if you're here this morning and maybe, you know, you're going to have moments in life where you're like, you know, I messed up. Listen, right where you are, you have the ability to say, God, forgive me. And you know what? He does. That's awesome. Because I can promise you, you're going to mess up. You're not human. You're human. If you're not human, you probably won't, but You're human. We mess up. But let's take these lessons from Jonah and let's apply them to our lives. And I want to challenge you. Look through the eyes of God. Know that He's a God of second chances, and you wouldn't be where you are today if it wasn't for His grace. Nor would I. But when we obey Him, great things happen. Entire cities like Nineveh were turned because of the obedience of Jonah. But yet even then, he couldn't see it because he was so consumed with himself. Let's let life not be about us. But let it be about God and His love and His kindness and His grace and His message of hope. Because that's what changes lives. The power of the Holy Spirit coming in, Jesus living inside of us. That's what changes who we are. Amen.